Today is Holocaust Remembrance Day, now 76 years since the end of the Second World War in Europe. A new book out this week, The Light of Days by Judy Battalion, details acts of heroism by Jewish women in the ghettos of Eastern Europe and even within the death camps who risked their lives to challenge the Nazis. She concentrates on female couriers who hand-carried crucial messages, weapons, and ammunition as part of the resistance in besieged Jewish ghettos. Here's special correspondent Malcolm Brabant.
76 years after the Auschwitz-Birkenau death camp was liberated and its railhead of industrial slaughter neutralized, ghosts of the Holocaust are coming to life in new, uplifting stories. One of the wartime heroines portrayed in this book is Bella Hazan, seen here with her son Yoel on the right. Yoel, a brain scientist in Jerusalem, wants the world to know what his mother did in the war, to compensate for the torrid reception she received in Israel after surviving Auschwitz-Birkenau.
They used to say, "You are sheep who went to the slaughter," and she was treated as such. Why didn't you resist? I mean, this was a question. What did you do that you were not killed? Did you collaborate with the Nazis? Were you bartering sex for food? Were you a prostitute? I mean, these were questions that were put to her.
How angry does that make you that your mother's first period in Israel was so awful?
I'm extremely angry, and this is, of course, one of the reasons why I'm trying to tell her story.
This picture testifies to Bella Hazan's courage. She's between two other Jewish underground couriers. What makes the photograph extraordinary is that it was taken by a Nazi at a Gestapo Christmas party. Bella worked as an interpreter for the Gestapo. The job gave her a great cover story, which enabled her to travel to cities like Vilnius in Lithuania, where the Jewish resistance operated. Aged just 19 and masquerading as a Polish Catholic, she became a brilliant spy. Her luck ran out at this railway station in Poland. Despite being arrested, tortured, and sent to Auschwitz, she never confessed her true identity.
She interacted with the Gestapo people. What she did was to steal official papers, to put stamps, official stamps, on these papers. And she delivered these materials together with information that she gathered when she was in that place. She delivered it all to the headquarters of the underground.
They were walking around with cash in their garter belts and dynamite in their underwear.
The bravery of women in Hitler's ghettos was buried in an old Yiddish book that author Judy Battalion stumbled upon in the British Library in London. She spent 14 years researching women whose exploits have been neglected by history and who she believes should be revered.
When I first began this project, I too had a kind of subconscious understanding, what they call now the myth of passivity, and which is why when I first found this material by accident, I was blown away, and now I cannot look at the story of the Holocaust without seeing it as one of a constant battle of resistance and resilience.
Battalion's book concentrates on couriers like Hazia Bielitska, eulogized by her granddaughter Hadass in Israel.
You could see it in the Holocaust, of course, the way she wanted to save people and help children. And she didn't just want to survive. That wasn't her mission. She wanted to do much more than that.
Hazia Bielitska's ability to evade Nazi patrols and checkpoints made her a key player in the Jewish insurgency in Bialystok, these days an ultra-conservative town in northeast Poland, renowned for its hostility to gays. 80 years ago, under the Nazis, it had a ghetto where Jews were corralled before being dispatched to death camps.
The courier missions was to bring ammunition to the partisans. The partisans were fighting in the forest. They needed ammunition. The women that she was with tried to find always places where they could steal ammunition, bring it to the forest or to the ghetto sometimes.
These women showed bravery and courage and cleverness and bravado against all odds.
As long as they appeared sufficiently Aryan, women could move more freely around occupied Poland than men, who were supposed to be working during daylight hours. The couriers exploited a naive German belief that women were incapable of sabotage and subterfuge.
The biggest militaries in the world couldn't defeat the German army, but that didn't matter. What mattered was the fight for justice and liberty.
Zivia Lubetkin left Poland when Germany invaded. She could have stayed outside the country, but came back.
Zivia Lubetkin was ultimately a leader in the Warsaw Ghetto. She helps get young Jews out of slave labor. She helps them find food. And she fought in two ghetto uprisings. She fought in the Warsaw Uprising alongside the Polish resistance.
The 1943 Warsaw Ghetto Uprising lasted almost a month as heavily outnumbered Jewish fighters kept crack German forces at bay. Ultimately, they were overwhelmed, and some partisans died by suicide rather than surrendering. Today, only a small portion of the ghetto wall remains, but Zivia Lubetkin's deeds live on.
She escaped through sewers, sewage water up to her neck, and even after the ghetto was razed and she was in hiding, she helped administer rescue organizations that helped thousands of Jews in hiding in Warsaw.
Although most of the characters in Battalion's book are couriers, she couldn't resist telling the story of Anna Heilmann, a member of the Auschwitz resistance.
How on earth do you resist in Auschwitz?
This is such an incredible story. Again, one of those, how did I not know about this?
Only one crematorium remains at Auschwitz-Birkenau. All but one were destroyed by the Nazis as they fled from the advancing Soviet Red Army. The other one was blown up by Anna Heilmann's co-conspirators in October 1944. She helped to steal gunpowder from a munitions factory 2 miles from Birkenau and smuggled it back in the hems of her clothes.
It was this very elaborate system where the people that worked in the room where they packed the powder would take little bits and put it in the waste basket on the side. Another round of women would collect that waste, go to the bathroom, take out the gunpowder, and hide it in fabric.
And here is Anna Heilmann, in her own words, in Canada in 1996.
They used this gunpowder and manufactured little hand grenades made out of metal round boxes of shoe polish with a wick and filled with gunpowder, and when you lit it, it exploded.
The crematorium was destroyed during a brief rebellion by so-called Sonderkommandos, Jews forced by the Nazis to dispose of bodies from the gas chambers.
All the Sonderkommando people were killed, but the crematorium was destroyed as well.
In retribution, Anna Heilmann's sister was executed.
I heard this collective groan, and I knew what happened. I didn't witness it with my eyes, but I was there.
In Jerusalem, Bella Hazan's son, Yoel Yari, is grateful that light is now being shone on this aspect of the Holocaust.
I think it is extremely important because the story of the couriers is almost unknown worldwide and also in Israel.
The new book may help elevate these women to their rightful place in history, especially as the author is now working on a screenplay for Steven Spielberg, Oscar-winning director of that legendary Holocaust movie, Schindler's List. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Malcolm Brabant.